representatives from Human Rights Watch, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and other privacy and human rights advocacy groups are concerned that, in an effort to strengthen and universalize anti-cybercrime measures, the United Nations is being too broad in its definitions of cybercrime, and human rights could get steamrolled in the process. Kerry Shankman is a human rights attorney and member of the panel. He was particularly concerned that authorities in countries where homosexuality is criminalized might weaponize the new treaty to target queer people. He cited Egypt as an example.
Law enforcement in Egypt opposed on Grindr and charged folks with bogus cybercrime offenses as a result. Jordan cybercrime law targets LGBT communities. Uganda criminalizes even being queer and punishes what's called cyber obscenity. And Lebanon even moved to ban the recent bar meeting for promoting, quote, homosexuality and sexual transformation. So what happens when this treaty gets applied to real people who aren't dolls?
Human rights activists are aware of the fact that the treaty was initially proposed by Russia, which has been infamous in recent years for extra-legal cyber activity. Deborah Brown is a senior researcher and advocate on technology and rights with Human Rights Watch. She says that there's still too much uncertainty in the current draft of the treaty, and it needs to be reworked.
Even though we saw a number of governments vote against moving forward with this treaty, they're engaging in the process, but there's still a fundamental disagreement or lack of consensus on what we're even trying to achieve here. So I think, yeah, it's quite, it's not where we started, but we still have a really long way to go.
The panelists agreed with the goals of the treaty to combat cybercrime. However, they criticized the UN's methodology. Ramanjit Singh Chima is Senior International Counsel for Access Now. He says that some countries have developed anti-cybercrime measures that are worth replicating. He pointed to the Dutch government's policy.
We see many good examples nationally, but there's sometimes an unwillingness to draft a commitment to this in the treaty itself. If you look at the Netherlands, for example, the Netherlands has a clear policy issued by its government that has been regularly updated and published, saying that there are guidelines issued by their national government saying that the prosecution of certain good faith security research activity shall not occur.
The United Nations has live streamed the treaty discussions, and the ad hoc committee is allowing any non-governmental organization to register and participate. Human rights advocates say they will continue to urge the UN to protect the digital rights of individuals and the right of free expression in the final treaty. I'm Jacques Leibarger-Martel, Pacifica News, KPFA.